De allernieuwste telefoon, een groter huis, een dikke auto voor de deur, verre vakanties. Ik gun het je van harte hoor, maar wat heb je eraan als ondertussen de planeet verder opwarmt en naar de galamiezen gaat? Wil je echt weten hoe het zit en wat we eraan kunnen doen? Luister dan naar BNR Duurzaam elke maandag tussen 3 en half 4 op de radio en altijd online als podcast. Want die volhoudbare wereld, die maken we samen.
BNR Duurzaam wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door Milieuservice Nederland. De ondernemende afvalpartner voor zakelijk Nederland.
De Perestrooikast. Een blik op Oost-Europa.
Welkom bij BNR Perestrooikast, aflevering 127 van de enige podcast van Nederland die volledig oog voor het oosten heeft en geeft. Een bijzondere aflevering, speciaal vanwege 5 mei, vanwege Bevrijdingsdag. Een interview met de Belarussische oppositieleider, of eigenlijk de legitiem gekozen leider van het land, Svetlana Tikhanovskaya.
We are fighting for freedom of speech, for freedom of moves, of media and so on.
Zij was laatst in Nederland om een prijs in ontvangst te nemen, de For Freedoms Award, een zeer prestigieuze vrijheidsprijs. Ik kon met haar spreken in Den Haag, in de Tweede Kamer. En dat was een bijzonder gesprek dat ik heb gehouden zonder collega Floris Akkerman. En Floris zit op dit moment nog in Oekraïne, reist door het land. Voor de luisteraar die dit gesprek hoort op dag van publicatie, op bevrijdingsdag, dus op donderdag. Vanavond, donderdagavond om 8 uur, is er een speciale Twitter Spaces. Dus heb je Twitter, dan kun je inschakelen. Floris en ik gaan met elkaar in gesprek over de situatie in Oekraïne. En dan kun je dus meepraten. Het is een hele andere podcast misschien dan je gewend bent. Maar dat is ook omdat er bijzondere dingen gebeuren. Maar je weet het inmiddels, alles ten oosten van de rivier de Elbe kan de komende weken, maanden, jaren in deze podcast worden besproken. En je kunt je ideeën inbrengen via Twitter @perestrooikast. Je kunt ons mailen op perestrooikast@bnr.nl. En we doen er ook wat mee. Ik ben Geert-Jan Haan. Ik groet Floris vanaf deze plek. Je luistert naar BNR Perestrooikast. Voordat je Svetlana Tikhanovskaya hoort, even een hele korte introductie. Ze was laatst in Middelburg, want daar kreeg ze de internationale For Freedoms Award.
With your leadership, your words and your actions, you are a beacon of hope to all those who suffer injustice.
Dat is een bijzondere prijs. Die wordt sinds 1950 uitgereikt aan mensen en organisaties die zich inzetten voor verschillende vrijheden, eigenlijk voor 4 vrijheden die ooit door de Amerikaanse president Roosevelt zijn geformuleerd in een toespraak die hij hield voor het congres in 1941. Het zijn principes waar later de VN op is gebouwd, de universele verklaring van de rechten van de mens. En omdat de voorouders van Roosevelt uit Zeeland kwamen, wordt de prijs de ene keer in New York uitgereikt en de andere keer in Middelburg. Nou, de eer viel Svetlana Tikhanovskaya ten deel. Ze was in Nederland. Ik heb haar die week meerdere keren trouwens gesproken en ontmoet. Maar we hebben ook even gezeten voor een officieel interview. Het duurt ongeveer 18 minuten. Het is in het Engels. En je hoort haar over de situatie in Belarus. Je hoort haar over de situatie in Oekraïne.
The fact that we woke up in your reality is awful.
En we hebben het ook over vrijheid. Want wat betekent het om vrijheid te ervaren?
In Belarus, about 1,500 political prisoners. People are sentenced to 11, 15, 10 years in jail only because they wanted to be free. That's it.
Iets dat ik niet beter weet. Ik ben 36 jaar. Ik heb nooit oorlog meegemaakt. Ik heb wel oorlog gezien in Oekraïne. Maar ik was geen onderdeel van het land dat getroffen werd. Tikhanovskaya ervaart het nu anders. Haar man zit notabene in de gevangenis. Was ooit presidentskandidaat. Maar zover kwam het niet. Toen werd zij naar voren geschoven. En de rest is geschiedenis. Een revolutie in 2020 die niet slaagde. Een illegitiem gekozen president genaamd Alexander Lukashenko die op de troon bleef zitten. Tikhanovskaya die naar Litouwen vluchtte en daar in ballingschap nu leeft. Luister maar naar het gesprek. Ms. Tikhanovskaya, how are you?
You know, I never know how to answer this question because it's ordinary to say I'm fine, thank you, but I'm not fine because, you know, I have this constant pain for Belarusian people who are behind the bars, who are in prison for their state of mind. And so I'm managing.
In February 21, we were also talking to each other, and I kind of remember you were answering the same way.
Yeah, because I can't say I'm okay or I'm good, you know. As I have been studied in English school, I'm so-so, thank you. No, but it's difficult to define your mood, your state, because you are in constant stress.
Yeah. Is there more stress now due to the situation in Ukraine?
The fact that we woke up in new reality is awful. We really, as Belarusians, haven't expected that the war could start in our region, because we experienced awful World War II. We had many victims, and I was sure that Russia would never repeat this experience. But we maybe underestimated rationality of Russian president, and we woke up in shock. And the situation with Belarus is became even more serious, because Lukashenko, illegitimate person in our country, dragged our Belarus to this war. He gave our lands, our soil for launching missiles in Ukraine. And such cities as Bucha, the pictures from which we saw in public, was bombed from the territory of Belarus. And immediately Belarus became a country sole aggressor.
So
in this war.
Are you saying that Belarus is not an independent country anymore?
We say that Belarus now is under military occupation or partially occupied country. Of course, it's like a political declaration, because, you know, experts now are discussing is it possible, you know, that illegitimate Lukashenko, maybe he's controlling something, but I have to say that he doubtly controls presence of Russian military troops on our territory. The only thing he's controlling is repressions against Belarusian people. So he's given selling our independence, our sovereignty to Russia. So he is not independent. So, but we Belarusian people are fighting courageously for a year and a half already against this dictatorship, against our country to be sold to third one. And you know, it's very important for Belarus to keep our sovereignty.
Yeah. Do you expect, even though there is now this Russian narrative of liberating Donbas, so the forces and the threat, the direct threat from Belarus to Ukraine, it seems like it disappeared. But do you think, are you afraid that it will come back? The role that Belarus under the illegitimate president is playing right now?
You know, I'm sure that the fact that Russian troops, most of them have been withdrawn from the territory of Belarus, is not the merit of Lukashenko, is the merit of Belarusian people. Because Belarusian people, for this months of the war, they didn't give opportunity to Russian troops to feel safe in our country. Belarusian disrupted a railway to stop Russian military equipment reach Ukraine. Belarusian people made pictures of missiles launched, Russian equipment, and send it immediately to Ukrainian military forces, you know, for them to be prepared. And Belarusian army didn't enter the territory of Ukraine because our soldiers don't understand why they have to fight or die for whom? For dictators. And they didn't have this moral understanding. Why do they have to fight against our brothers and sisters, Ukrainians? So Putin didn't find reliable partners among Belarusians. He has collaborant Lukashenko, but Belarusian people didn't afford to use our soil in full. But look, dictators are unpredictable. And who knows, Lukashenko again, Kremlin will use our soil to attack Ukraine from north again, because Lukashenko has to pay debts to Putin for his support in 2020, and he's vassal, he's collaborant, he accomplice of Kremlin at the moment, and he fulfills whatever he said.
And it doesn't bother him to sell his soul.
He doesn't care about our country. He doesn't take care about people. He cares only about his own power, about his throne. That's it.
You're here to receive a very special prize. Can I ask you your feelings on that?
I'm really very proud and excited that I got this prize, but I have to say that it's not my prize. It's prize for all Belarusian people who so fearlessly fighting against Lukashenko's regime for these years. We are fighting for freedom of speech, for freedom of moves, of media, and so on. And this is tomorrow. I'm going to explain that wonderful people of Netherlands have all those liberties, but such countries as Belarus are fighting for it. A lot of people have sacrificed with their freedom, lives, with their health, to gain these freedoms. And, your wonderful people have to cherish what you have, because you maybe sometimes forget how it's important to cherish what you have, and of course to support those who are on their path, difficult path to gain these freedoms, to gain democracy. And it's important to show solidarity to those people. I talk about Belarus at the moment, and Netherlands have been supporting Belarus many years before and now, and I really see very reliable, wonderful partner in Netherlands, and I'm sure that we will be wonderful friends in the future.
In 1945, 5th of May, our country got liberated from the Nazi German occupation. And since then, we did not experience a threat in a way that Belarusian people are experiencing for 2 years now, actually longer, under the repression of Lukashenko, and absolutely not what's going on in Ukraine. So you have to be 80 years old or even older in the Netherlands to kind of experience and feel how important freedom is. Can you give me some advice on how to treasure freedom? Because unluckily you are experiencing that as well.
I think maybe the only way to remind young generations what you take for granted is to help those who are fighting for this liberty, to show them reality of different countries, to show them different experiences, how people can be put in jails for 18 years, like my husband, just for saying something against regime, just for saying that we want to choose our future by ourselves. We don't want to be conducted by a ruler who is keeping his power for 28 years. For all those corruption schemes, we want to be free in our country. At the moment in Belarus, about 1,500 political prisoners. People are sentenced to 11, 15, 10 years in jail only because they wanted to be free. That's it. And in prisons, wonderful journalists, wonderful architects and scientists, wonderful people, young people, students, so pretend the country where, like, you live in gulag and it's awful and you can't say anything against regime. You are becoming enemy immediately if you you know, if you want to be free. It's forbidden in our country. So, and when you show our stories, when you tell about such countries as Belarus and other countries who are fighting against dictatorship or for liberties, it will be the best lessons for free people, for them, you know, to, again, to cherish what you have, not to bring your country to this situation, to dictatorship. Free people very often can't understand what people in dictatorship feel.
Yeah.
You know, they ask, why don't you go for rallies and say that you are against? Because you immediately will be in prison, you will be tortured, you will be put in jail without water, food, I don't know, pillows, blankets, you will be beaten until almost death. So this is your future in dictatorship.
I wanted to ask you, don't you feel powerless yourself?
I don't feel powerless because I'm not alone. Yes, I'm not in the country, but I know that 90% of Belarusian people are against this regime. It's impossible to go for huge rallies because, again, you will be jailed. We already have a lot of political prisoners and their families are afraid for their lives, for their children. Hundreds of thousands of people had to flee the country because of repressions. Just imagine you leave and you can be detained at any moment. You can be kidnapped, put in jail, and your relatives will look for you for weeks. But people, Belarusian people, like, woke up. And I know that people will not be returned to that state of mind, the state mind of slaves that we have been living for many years. And I know that people want the changes. And regime will never, never again will be able to change this mind. And this is the first step for liberty. So I feel huge support from Belarusians in the country. I feel huge support from Belarusians who fled the country because of repressions. I feel huge support from Belarusians who left Belarus many years ago, and now they organized like Belarusian diaspora in every country. Mm-hmm. And I feel huge support from democratic countries. Without this support, we would be much, much more fragile in this fight. In this fight where Lukashenko has his security apparatus, you know, his OMON and KGB. Maybe your listeners even don't know this word. But I know the intention of people. I know that people will not give up because we are responsible for those who sacrificed with their freedom lives, you know, to give us opportunity to fight further. Yeah. And so I'm not powerless because democracy cannot be powerless.
One more question about Ukraine. Can Ukraine win this war?
It will.
Why?
It will because so many powerful countries are with Ukraine. And I'm sure that every country now understands that Ukraine is fighting not for Ukraine only. It's fighting for all democratic countries. And every democratic country understands that it's their moral obligation to help Ukrainians.
Because
they are on the front line of this war. And, you know, yesterday I have communicated with some Ukrainians, and they asked me to say a huge thank you to Netherlands for that strong step that your wonderful country decided to provide heavier equipment to them.
So you're not talking about a symbolic or moral win for Ukraine, but you're sure that they will eventually win on the battlefield as well, and that they will keep, let's say, much of their territory, that they will stay a sovereign country.
If powerful countries will not just stay aside and guess, will they win or they will not, you know, just, but they will help Ukraine, help brave Ukrainians, is definitely win. As you said, I absolutely agree with you, this moral victory, they already have this moral victory. But now it's the cruel fight for some territories, for Mariupol and Kharkov, and it's very important to make this step to, as Netherlands did, to give equipment, to give more necessary, I don't want to say weapon, you know, because it's, but to help as much as every country can, because many countries can do a lot, but it's, you know, it's very difficult to be the first, and Netherlands is the first here.
Thank you very much, and enjoy your stay.
Thank you.
And congratulations on the award.
Thank you so much, Netherlands.
Dat was Svetlana Tichanovskaya. En het interview waar ik aan refereerde, dat Floris en ik met haar hadden, dat was aflevering 84 van BNR Perestroikast. Een deel van dit interview kun je trouwens ook beluisteren in het programma BNR De Wereld, dat live op Bevrijdingsdag vandaag dus wordt uitgezonden vanuit Hotel De Wereld in Wageningen. Over vrijheid gesproken. En vanavond dus om 8 uur Nederlandse tijd een Twitter Spaces met Floris Akkerman. We spreken elkaar, ik vanuit Utrecht en Floris vanuit Oekraïne, over de situatie daar en om te kijken naar de vrijheidsstrijd die Oekraïne daar voert momenteel tegen belager Rusland. Aito. En namens Floris alvast tot zo.
De allernieuwste telefoon, een grote huis, een dikke auto voor de deur, verre vakanties. Ik gun het je van harte hoor, maar wat heb je eraan als ondertussen de planeet verder opwarmt en naar de galamiezen gaat? Wil je echt weten hoe het zit en wat we eraan kunnen doen? Luister dan naar BNR Duurzaam elke maandag tussen 3 en half 4 op de radio en altijd online als podcast. Want die volhoudbare wereld, die maken we samen.
BNR Duurzaam wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door Milieuservice Nederland. De ondernemende afvalpartner voor zakelijk Nederland.